Thank you very much. It's not a waste of time, Madam Chair. I'll be very brief and skip over to the DGs for the presentation. But I just wanted to say we are here as social development to build a caring society, and that we'll do together. Our vision is a caring and integrated system of social development services that facilitates human development and improves the quality of life. And our mission is to ensure the provision of the comprehensive social protection services against vulnerability and poverty within the constitutional and legislative framework, and create an enabling environment for sustainable development. And we must underline that the sustainable development and the department further aims to deliver integrated, sustainable, and quality services in partnership with all those committed to building a caring society. Our strategic priorities are that the department has formulated and committed itself to the following strategic themes. We are going to address child poverty and to also addressing adult and older persons' poverty, and also to promote youth development and promote social cohesion and approaching civil society. Support and strengthening the communities, supporting governance and institutional development, and promoting regional and international solidarity and development. First, let's talk about poverty, child poverty, and elderly persons' poverty. We want to address the issue of poverty, especially in the rural areas. When we talk poverty, we talk about something that doesn't have any boundaries. Poverty doesn't have boundaries, and it doesn't know the color line, and it doesn't know the party line. Poverty is poverty. That is what we must address, and we are going to do that together with you people, irrespective of your party affiliation. We are going to fight poverty. We are going to make sure that in social development, the people that are on grants must migrate from handouts to become entrepreneurs. That is what I'm aiming at. Looking at developing people, if you develop a person, you must make that person a better person. Make that person, give that person his or her dignity back. Make sure that that person migrates from the bottom of the pyramid ladder to the top of the pyramid level. So ours is to make sure that these people also are removed from the bottom of the pyramid to the economic mainstream. That's fighting poverty and promoting youth development. We've got a lot of young people that are not working. We've got a lot of young people that have graduated, some have matriculated, but are not working. What are we doing? We must make sure that we do something to help them, to assist them to get into the economic mainstream. So, in short, I won't be talking too much because I want to give more time to the presentation so that we can look at what is in this strategic document. Let's support government and its institutions, the institutions here that we are working with, let's support them. It's exactly what I'm saying, that the aim should be to alleviate poverty, to assist our people to become better people. In those short words, I was just doing an introduction to say we are all here to work together. Let's not work in silos. Let's not work pointing fingers at each other that this one is this and this one is that, this one. I heard you talking about hope and things here. But when it comes to poverty, poverty doesn't know hope, doesn't know ANC, doesn't know DA, but poverty is poverty. So let's work together to alleviate poverty in all the provinces. With this few words, I want to hand over to the DG to start the
heartbeat, and another flower that will also blossom is the acting chief finance officer of the department, who will present the budget and expenditure report, which is part C of the presentation. I think it will also deal with part D of the presentation, which is very stressful. If you will send me that.
Thanks, DG, and thanks the Chief Minister, Madam Chair, and Member of the Committee. As DG said, I'm the Acting Chief Director for Marketing and Evaluation, and I'm going to do this presentation. Maybe just up front before I start, that you will note that in the annual report, we have prepared some deviations in some of the areas. This report do not focus on our deviations or things that we haven't achieved. We focus in the presentation on the things that we have achieved. So if you have questions in terms of issues where we prepare deviations, all the program managers are around the table here, and I'm sure they are able and willing to assist and answer questions around the areas where deviations were prepared. I'm going to take the presentation program by program, and the first program is Comprehensive Social Security. Just to remind all of us what our program objective is here is to ensure the development of norms and standards to facilitate financial and economic planning, to monitor compliance with social assistance policy prescripts for the provision of a comprehensive system of social security, and to facilitate the payment of social assistance grants to eligible households. Now, in terms of social assistance, we've divided it into children's benefits and benefits from the other groups. So in terms of the children's benefits, I think one of the biggest achievements was that the Cabinet approved the extension of the child support program during this period to children aged 15 to 18 years. And it came into effect in January 2010. Now, the number of child support grant recipients increased by 9.1%. From more than 8,700,000 in March 2009 to more than 9.5 million rand by the 9.5 million recipients by the end of March 2010. In terms of the foster child grant recipients, it increased from 474,579 in March 2009 to more than 510,000 by the end of the reporting period. And this represents an annual growth rate of about 7.6% in the foster care, foster child grant recipients. In terms of care dependency, there is also a growth of 5.3% and an increase in the beneficiary numbers for from 113,000, more than 113,000, to 119,000 by March 2010. In terms of the other groups, old age, disability, and the war veterans grant, that the Social Assistance Amendment Bill was submitted to Parliament in March 2010 for public comment. The recipients of the disability grant declined, which is good news for us, from more than 1.2 million to 68,000 to 1.2 million to 64,000. And that was due to the review of social grants that was provided for in the regulations under the Social Assistance Act. Furthermore, the age equalization for the old age grant, eligible men aged 61 to 62 were also enrolled and began to receive the old age grant during the reporting period, and that brings the number of older persons receiving the grant to more than 2.5 million. The war veterans grant recipients declined by 18.9% from 1,500 to 1,260 at the end of March 2010. And there were two studies. We conducted this study. One study was on income support for unemployed adults that was finalized, and we developed policy options. And the other study was on social assistance for caregivers. And that was also finalized, and policy options around those were developed. In terms of social insurance, it's still under program 2. The social insurance policy proposal Then further to that, we've developed the develop a policy for rehabilitating people with disabilities and providing them with community-based services. We finalize strategies for supporting children with disabilities, and we finalize an integrated policy and minimum standards on residential facilities for people with disabilities. It's a comprehensive national policy framework for disability, and therefore we align ourselves with the UN, not connection, but convention. And we roll out minimum standards for residential facilities in all provinces. In terms of substance abuse, we've drafted regulations under the Prevention of and Treatment for the Substance Abuse Act. We approved the aftercare and reintegration model for victims of substance abuse. We completed preparations for the second biannual summit on substance abuse, and we hosted the Kavoja roadshow, and we reached 90 master trainers. In terms of family, victim empowerment program, and social crime prevention, we've approved the shelter strategy for victims of abuse. We've approved the guidelines of services relating to human trafficking and rape, domestic violence, and violent crime. We've approved the strategy for engaging with men and boys on the prevention of gender-based violence. We've drafted and finalized the social crime prevention strategy. We've drafted a blueprint, norms and standards for secure care centers. We've drafted and finalized the national policy framework on diversion services for children in countries with a law. We built capacity in 6 provinces on family preservation, and we reached 200 service providers. We approved the implementation strategy for family, and we built capacity in 5 provinces, and we reached 200 service providers. And we drafted and we finalized the strategy on services to women. Still program 3 under child care and protection services. Our main achievement here was the implementation of the new Children's Act. So we finalized and approved the regulations under the Children's Act, which came into effect in April 2010. We developed and discussed the norm standards and practical guidelines pertaining to the Children's Act at the provincial and a national level. Provinces submitted revised plans for implementing the Children's Act, and we finalized and submitted the policy framework at strategy to the Child Care and Protection Forum. We've amended a monitoring and evaluation framework, which is in line now with the final regulations under the Children's Act. And we finalized and refined the training guidelines, and we provided the trainer guide to the Child Care and Protection Forum. In terms of the functional child protection system, which is developed now, Part B of the Child Protection Register, part of our efforts to build a functional child protection system. We've developed a results matrix for the implementation plan for the policy framework and strategic plan for child abuse, neglect, and exploitation. In terms of alternative care facilities and programs, we have completed a rapid appraisal of child and youth care centers, but we could not plot these centers geographically. We've drafted an alternative care strategy, and we've completed a research report on cluster key models, and we also did the costing level. In terms of adoption, we finalized and approved the register of adoptable children and effective adoptive parents policy documents. We've developed a manual adoption register, and we've registered more than 2,600 national adoptions. 293 country adoption. We developed and approved the policy document on the accreditation process. We developed and presented an adoption strategy to the Welfare Services Forum, ACC, and MINMEC. We printed and distributed practice guidelines on inter-country and national adoption. And we hosted the International Social Services Council meeting in Cape Town in 2009. And International Social Services guidelines were also completed and approved in the report. In terms of orphans and vulnerable children, we developed a policy framework for statutory services to child care households, as well as we finalized and approved the guidelines for statutory services to child care households. And we incorporated the draft. and working with students into a strategy and guidelines for children living and working with students. In terms of early childhood development, we developed a content paper on national partial feeding. We registered more than 2,500 ECD centers during the reporting period, and it brings us to more than 16,250 registered ECD centers in total. We increased the number of children accessing the ECD services to more than 770, and more than 428,000 of these children are receiving government subsidy. We also developed a computerized national information management system for the partial care and for ECD, and we developed a draft monitoring framework for the implementation of the national integrated plan for ECD. Okay, that was program 3. In terms of program 4, which is community development, the program objective here is to develop, monitor, and facilitate the implementation of appropriate policies, strategies, and programs aimed at strengthening the potential of communities, including youth, to sustain and advance their livelihoods and further human development. So, community development policy and service standards. We've developed the National Community Development Framework, as well as an IPSA, which is India Brazil South Africa Social Strategy. We developed a skills development plan for community development policy and health and welfare sector education and training authority, and it was approved for more than 2 million rand for a community development practitioner skills development program. And we developed guidelines for the participation of community-based organizations and for the participation of community development practitioners in integrated development planning, and 100 community development practitioners were trained in municipal integrated development plan. In terms of community development, sustainable livelihood. We complete the sustainable livelihood approach toolkit by the Minister of Social Development, and we train 40 community development practitioners on using the sustainable livelihood approach toolkit. In terms of community food bank, we developed a food bank rollout strategy and criteria for establishing new food banks and consultations on the rollout. And the roll-up were held in Western Cape, KZN, Eastern Cape, Gauteng Province, and the North West Province. The department spent around 3.3 million on the establishment of food banks in Cape Town, Johannesburg, Durban, and Port Elizabeth. And we created 91 jobs through the food bank initiative. So program 4 on the war on poverty interventions, we generated a household profiling tool it was utilized in the wall-to-wall profiling of Greater Giyani as part of the War of Poverty campaign, contribution towards 67 minutes of Mandela Day. Development partners compliance with contract agreements. We developed and approved the Department of Social Development Food Bank South Africa cooperation agreement, and contract and service levels were reviewed and approved with following organizations like ECPT, National Association for People Living with HIV and AIDS, Food Bank South Africa, the University of KZN, National Association for Biological Sciences of South Africa. We developed and monitored service level agreements with our funded organizations involving an amount of more than 8 million rand. Our social grant beneficiaries, we linked more than 2,100 grant beneficiaries to economic activity. We launched a health project. Maybe you could say what you're standing for. In terms of health project, into which we created a total of 84 jobs. 32 of these jobs were in the farming of hemp, 35 in product development, 17 in technical support and marketing, in youth development. We've got the youth development and poverty alleviation program. We commissioned an audit of youth services in two provinces, Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. We conducted a desktop analysis of all these policies, legislation and research in-house, and then we filed a report. Department of Social Development, in partnership with the National Youth Development Agency, reviewed and implemented the training manual for the notification of the National Youth Service. And we trained 90 officials in Free State, Limpopo, Northern Cape, and North West. And we also developed business plans to implement the different National Youth Services projects. We trained more than 1,700 youth pioneers and coordinators under the Masipatsela curriculum. We recruited and oriented six Cuban professors who were offered an English language course and replaced in promises. We conducted the annual review of the first phase of the Masipatsela Youth Pioneer Program with support from the Cuban officers. And we accreditation of the Masipatsela curriculum in an advanced stage and a decision by the Senate of the University or for to be was being awaited by the end of this period. And in terms of our improved services to be used, the department assisted with the establishment and launch of a youth desk at Victoria Central Police Station, and the department assisted to coordinate the youth program and multi-purpose center from the Mbumati Youth Forum. Then, still with program 4 in terms of HIV and AIDS of the home community-based care, we reviewed the policy framework on home community-based care. We funded more than 1,400 home community based care organizations, and they all of them are complying with the norms and standards for home and community based care. We developed a monitoring tool for further improvement of compliance. We developed guidelines on psychosocial support for children and adults. We implemented the HCDC and NME system to improve data collection in North West, North Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Limpopo. We trained 264 district officials and more than 850 HGBC organizations on the manual model of the integrated GMP system for home community based care. We trained 372 organizations in two provinces, which is Limpopo and KZN. And we appointed the National Institute for Community Development and Management to review the existing model. And the curriculum framework for community caregivers and a training manual for curriculum caregivers were developed, and a psychosocial well-being skills development program for the curriculum and training material received accreditation from HWCSA, and we trained 660 community caregivers in the skills development program, and we developed a strategy for monitoring the Love Life program. In terms of program 4, the non-profit organization, we finalized a draft policy and capacity building framework for all non-profit organizations. We've completed 3 research studies on non-profit organizations related topics. And in terms of our NPO registration, we registered more than 10,300 NPOs that met a legal requirement within a required 2-month period. And this registration increased the number of registered organizations to more than 65,000, which is an increase of 14% from the previous financial year. Okay, that was program 4, which I've finished right now. Now, program 5, which is more of a core service, strategy and governance. The objective of this for policy development, for ordination and evaluation, to facilitate and develop the department's strategic plan, to oversee all entities, agencies and boards reporting to the department, and to promote population policy and coordinate monitoring and evaluation across the sector. A wide range of issues covered in this program. In terms of strategy planning, development and risk management, we developed a sector strategic framework based on agreed sector objectives. We tabled the department's strategic plan in Parliament as required by law. We completed an annual risk assessment exercise, including the department's risk assessment report. And we developed a sector NCS infrastructure plan in partnership with all provinces. The department participated in the 54th session of the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women, which was held in New York in March 2010. The emphasis was placed on sharing experiences and good practices with a view to overcome existing obstacles and new challenges, including those related to the Millennium Development Goals. And we developed implementation plans, customer care, and clear guidelines for each province. In terms of monitoring and evaluation, we contributed to the design and implementation of a public expenditure tracking study on the EPD, and that was done in collaboration with National Treasury, the Department of Basic Education, and UNICEF. We evaluated children's programs, including issues such as the aging out of foster care. Various studies were done in terms of children. We undertook a major exercise to scope the existence and validate the registration information of social development facilities. This included the development of a tool for provincial departments to maintain and update data on facilities in their provinces. We carried out two major sector capacity building initiatives benefiting 120 individuals, the most notable of these being the 5-day international program for development evaluation, a joint initiative by the World Bank and Fulton University of Canada. In terms of population and development, we prepared reports on progress made on the implementation of the International Conference on Population and Development Program of Action. We presented a 15-year progressive review to the United Nations Commission on Population and Development, the African Ministers Conference on ICPD, Club 50, and the Southern African Development Community Conference on ICPD. We developed a new 5-year population strategy based on the outcome of the 10-year review and an assessment of the implementation of population policy in the country. We published and disseminated population research reports and publications at various events. And research projects focus on poverty, teenage pregnancy, youth, gender, HIV and AIDS, children population policy, and population environment and development. With population and development, we developed a guideline document to assist local municipalities to integrate the country's population policy into IDPs. We assisted provincial population units in Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, the Eastern Cape, and Free State to develop work plans for the UNFPA First Country Supported Program South Africa. We provided technical assistance to provincial population units and their counterparts in some districts and local municipalities to access, interpret, and analyze relevant demographic information for the purpose of local integrated development planning. And we established population and development information and knowledge centers, including a database populated with the contact details of population policy stakeholders in the public and private sector. In terms of our entity and oversight management, we developed two key documents, namely a corporate governance framework and a protocol on governance, ensure and uphold good corporate governance practices in line with the Kingsley Report. We facilitated the signing of agency agreements between the minister and the public entities to already strengthen our accountability with respect to their performance. We established an entity management forum as a means to encourage collaboration, feedback, and integration related to public entity oversight in the department. And we continue to play a vital role in the department's oversight of entity performance by reviewing the entity's quarterly performance reports, made available a provisional grant of 56 million rand to the HCC program, both in Department of Social Development and Health. The Kwana program shows as a 13-part development reality series of ECBC1 in September and November 2009. Kwana is an interactive social sex communication and mobilization project that is managed jointly by the Department of Social Development, so health and ECBC and others. The Independent Tribunal for Social Assistance Appeals. The process of establishing the Independent Tribunal for Social Assistance Appeals is almost completed. We established three clusters based on the number of appeals from the different regions. The KwaZulu-Natal cluster includes the Free State, Northwest, and Gauteng. Free State and Northwest, the Gauteng cluster includes Mpumalanga and Limpopo, and the Eastern Cape cluster includes Western Cape and Northern Cape. The appeal tribunal adjudicated 5% of the appeals backlog, and by the end of the reporting period, more than 3,400 decisions appeals have been lodged, especially in KwaZulu-Natal. In order then to facilitate the speedy implementation of appeals adjudication outcomes, the appeals tribunal unit established a collaboration framework with SAFA as a state service office. In terms of our social policy program, we proceeded to the 17th session of the institutionalization of evidence-based policymaking. In August 2009, the social policy program team, together with social policy experts from the University of Oxford, presented an intensive five-day training course on social policy and social policy analysis for officials responsible for policy development in the national and provincial social sector transport department. We facilitated social policy and social policy analysis session for the department's senior manager. And in November 2009, the Zambian Ministry of Community Development and Social Services and the South African Department of Social Development jointly hosted a five-day roundtable of departments of social development, social welfare, and social affairs in the Southern African region in Livingston, Zambia. And we continue to coordinate and manage existing local and international collaborations and partnerships with academic and research institutions. In terms of our international obligations, the department participates in the following international initiatives. We had negotiations on the social dimension of NEPA during the UN Commission on Social Development in New York. We also played a leading role at the UN Population and Development Meeting in New York. We hosted a successful African Union Population and Development Ministers meeting. The cooperation continued with Zimbabwe, focusing on unaccompanied minors. The agreement with Zimbabwe was ready for signature by the end of this reporting period. The department participated in the Binational Commission between South Africa and the DRC. The ministers signed agreements with Mali and China on best practices exchanges. We finalized the India, Brazil, South Africa social development strategy, and the agreement with Jamaica was drafted, and an implementation plan with Mexico was produced, and the six Cuban professors started youth work in the provinces under the Spatella Youth Pioneer Program. The challenges that the department faced during this reporting period is that the draft and social relief policy and social relief goal was delayed as a result of the need to consult more broadly. In terms of retirement reform, the policy proposals on retirement reform form part of an interdepartmental process that requires the agreement of and support from many other departments. Lack of consensus with the IBDC delayed the drafting of this legislation. And the proposed overarching institutional framework for social security provision has not yet been approved, and therefore the legislation has not been drafted. And as a result of the high rate of unemployment, there is continued demand for an ever-expanding social safety net. In terms of capacity, due to capacity constraints, the department does not fully monitor the compliance with the Non-Profit Organizations Act by all registered NGOs. terms of reprioritization. Department beneficiary satisfaction survey could not be carried out as a result of reprioritization exercise that led to funds being shifted to the study of the impact of the child support grant. The appeals backlog, inadequate funding affects the reduction of social assistance appeal backlog. An MRS system could not be completed due to financial constraints. In terms of the EPWP, a study conducted on different models for desirable dispensation for EPWP workers began later than scheduled due to the protracted procurement process.
In terms of the financial report of the department as at the end of the 2019 financial year, as department we were also challenged with the whole economic situation in South Africa, so I can indicate the department managed to spend 89.62% of its allocated total budget for that year. There was an underspending, which I will get into detail soon, of just over 1 million rand. Then in terms of the division of the departmental expenditure, all inclusive, the bulk of the expenditure is going to households, which is basically our social assistance grant funding through SASSA. The other transfers is just our entity transfers as well as the other smaller transfers. Then our operational expenditure on which we have the ability to really manage and operate our function as the department, we can see it's just the 1% of that. Then in terms of operational spending, that is that 1% on which the department can really manage and operate its functions and responsibilities. There we can indicate that as department we've achieved the 99.25% spending. The underspending is 3.557, which is mainly related to transfers that we will get into detail soon. In terms of the division of the operational expenditure, there we can see the bulk of our expenditure is for compensation of employees due to the nature of the department. Then goods and services, the operations mainly of the department, capital expenditure, which we have deliberately decided to keep small in the interim, and that other transfers is smaller transfers to affiliations and small NGOs for participators in our activities. Of the audit report, the things that we need to highlight to the committee that is of importance is the dual accountability between the department and the South African Social Security, which continued to during this year on the social assistance grant payments. So the money is transferred to SASSA and they administer the money on our behalf. And in view of this accountability arrangement, the management then of the social assistance grant function by SASSA also then impact directly on the audit reports of the department because of the dual accountability. The national department is accountable for the funds. We disclose these funds in our books. And SASSA is responsible for the administration of these funds transferred to them. But ultimately, the disclosure is in the national department's books. In terms of the unspent funds, I've mentioned that there was a net underspending of just over 1 billion rand. The main underspending is on social assistance grants, and we've indicated previously our projections are basically based on assumptions which include population statistics, the way we can administer and absorb, but there's always the effect that people, you can project that people, so many people will come to the system, but it's not the reality. So fewer citizens applied for the social assistance grant during the 2009 financial year than what we projected. There was also improvement in the social grant application process by SASSA, as well as the improved beneficiary maintenance processes that contribute to the fact that we may not have spent all the money. The remainder of the amount underspent there relate to the emergency relief fund. It's still not funds that we need to spend. It's basically there as and when the need arrives and top up funding where required by provinces in many cases. So it's not a grant per se. Then in terms of the detail of the Auditor General's report, the department received for the first time a qualified audit opinion on its financial statements, and this qualification mainly relates to the projected, and I think that needs to be emphasized, it is projected numbers, it's the way the new audit standards work, so they project the amount of materiality of the things that they found not correct in terms of the social assistance grant, which is mainly existence of incomplete files or files could not be provided. For the department itself, in terms of its financial operations, notwithstanding the difficulties of all the things, there was an improvement in the administration. Compliance aspects, we can see that there was 20 findings, of which other matters was 6, administrative matters 14. In terms of internal control aspects, 27. The matters affecting the auditor report, it's 1. It still relates to the disclosure of the grant, this one. And the important matters also 1. The administrative matters is the one that is the administration of the funding of the department itself. So in general, the audit findings for the department, except for the social assistance grant, decreased then from administratively 73 at the end of the previous financial year to 47, still room for improvement, as we can see, but there is already a indication of some good improvement there. I've mentioned the basis of qualification. I think I won't go into too much detail. Just to re-emphasize that the projected amount based on the extrapolation of the mistakes found in is calculated at 10.5 billion. In terms of the current audit standards, and that is what caused that. There was also a further emphasis of matter, which is basically for all government departments. It's the basis of accounting. We're in a transition period as government. So we prepare our financial statements in line with the Treasury requirements on a modified cash basis of accounting. So that is in general for all government departments. Other matters of importance is also in terms, it was also the first year that they have started to look at our performance audits in terms of our objectives in our annual report. They call it the predetermined objectives. As department, we can report that there were no significant findings. It was just small administrative matters, but it did not have any impact. In terms of our internal control environment, it's again, and it needs to be noted that due to the legislative reporting line, and that relates directly to the Bureau of Accountability for the social assistance grant, the oversight responsibility fulfilled by the department does not focus on the detailed operations of SASSA. The accountability between the department and SACA are not clearly defined, resulting in uncertain responsibilities and accountability over the social assistance grant, because it is also a relationship to the administration funding that SACA is accountable for, and that is where the complexities come in. In terms of financial performance management, the requested information with regard to the social grant expenditure was not available or supplied without significant delay because of the magnitude. I think we talk about over 14 million beneficiaries. General information technology controls related to the SOCN system, that is the administration system for the grant, were not initially designed to maintain the integrity of the information system and security of the data. Manual and automated controls related to the social assistance grant expenditure were not designed to ensure transactions are authorized completely and accurately processed. So it's areas that we can talk about. Then there was also other investigations. These investigations include then the investigations undertaken by SACA, which is the bulk of the investigation on the social assistance grant expenditure as part of their normal operation. To clean up the social security database and reclaim amounts owing to the state, SACA has then also contracted the special investigations unit to assist them to manage, investigate and prosecute individuals in fraudulent activities within the social security system. Both the department and SACA, in terms of the social assistance grant funds, have developed then also in terms of correcting the findings and to ensure the implementation plan is adhered to for the Auditor General to try and avoid similar situations in the future. We've developed an action plan for monitoring purposes to ensure that we can manage the Auditor General's findings. The action plan for social grants specifically has a short-term, medium, and long-term strategies to address the outcomes, because we need to understand the magnitude of the activities and responsibilities involved in that function. Amongst other, the short-term strategies for addressing the missing files or critical documents include then also activities such as transfer of funds across the region, the files basically. SACA may be able to talk about this much more, because there are also files when beneficiaries are transferred, the files take sometimes longer for the files to be transferred, and that is one of the causes that the files may not be available for all the services in the region where the person receives the grant. There's also old files that need to be destructed. Then there's the reconstruction of some of the files and the elimination of backlogs on loose correspondence by filing, and the reviews of beneficiaries. Medium to long term strategies include, amongst others, the automation of the current manual grant value chain and the employment of additional staff. In terms of the responsibility of the audit committee, and they have actually looked at the internal control environment of the department. They found the system of internal control applied by the department over the financial year, and in terms of finance and risk management, is effective, efficient and transparent in terms of the normal operations. The audit committee then notes with great concern that the department has received for the first time an audit qualification on the financial statements, basically because our government is driving towards a clean audit. The unfortunate consequences resulting to the current dual accountability arrangements between the department and SACA, and the department's financial statements were qualified in respect of social assistance administered, and then an administration over which the department has no real control. It's the fact that the department also don't oversee the real operations, as you indicated. Over and above what is in the annual report, the committee then also recommended the following. The audit committee strongly recommends that there should be a review of the current accountability arrangements between the department and SASSA, or a change in the oversight authority of the department over SASSA. If the department remains, if the accountability lines remain at ease, and the deficiencies within the internal controls of SASSA continue to exist, the department may receive a possible further qualification in the next financial year, and the and the audit committee then, as mentioned in the audit report, would like the department and this matter to be taken up with the National Treasury in order to ensure obtain clarity on the effectiveness of the oversight role of the accounting officer of the department in terms of the PSMA. That is as far as the financial statements are concerned, Chairperson. In terms of Part B of the presentation, it's the legislative program for 2019. The department managed to finalize the following legislation. Social assistance. The Act was amended to expand the social grants for men from the age of 60. The policy to extend the child support grant between the ages of 15 to 18 was also approved, and the regulations were also completed, and the implementation started in January 2010. As far as older persons are concerned, the regulations under the Older Persons Act of 2006 were approved in March, and the Act came in effect April 2010. For children, the regulations under the Children's Act 2005 were approved in March, and the Act came also in operation April 2010. Substance abuse, the draft regulations are being developed for the prevention and the treatment of the Substance Abuse Act under the Act of 2008. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So you attended all the presentations. Yeah, you have done very well in terms of the presentation. And let me take this opportunity to thank the department, most especially, and commend it most especially on the areas where we have succeeded to achieve the items that we have put yourself, especially on worker services and community development and services, as there are many achievements that have been made there over the years. And also to say that the matter before I hand over to my members in this executive, that there is a matter that has been coming up very sharply in the report, as it has been presented to us, the area of the accountability lines that have led between the SASSA and the department. It needs an immediate attention, Deputy Minister, because even the report of the AG is also saying at the bottom there that if the department continues to remain as it is, and the deficiencies within the internal control of SASSA continue to exist, the department will be served out again of the qualified audit opinion again. So that means this is a sticky area that we have to pay attention to as a matter of urgency. And everything that we allow me to
do. Before I allow your member, all of that particular issue, the department is already giving for the DG to elaborate a bit on what has happened. So that it doesn't become a question because they are really aware of what the minister is.
Thank you,
this issue of men and women's lives is receiving attention more than just the accountability line. What a change in the flow of funds may do would simply shift responsibility for the big money to SASSA. But if that's all we do, then we will not have resolved the problem. Because whether the qualification is on the Department of Financials or SASSA's financials, it still remains a matter of concern. There are certain investments that SASSA has established would need to be addressed, such as automation of systems and the like. And those issues will form part of the agenda of the meeting to the Minister of Finance. I'm unable to say that at this stage, the time frames, I suppose, would have to be agreed upon at the meeting between the Minister of Social Development and the Minister of Finance. Once some agreement has been reached as to how long it will take to do that. There's always a difficulty in getting ministers to get together and talk, but we hope that something that is sufficient to say that for the Minister of Finance to accede to the request that has already been made to meet with them.
No, thanks very much, Deputy Minister. I feel that the Commission will be sufficient for us for now. We are happy to hear that there is some discussion that has been started between the two ministers. We are happy to hear that. Okay, let me move over to Honorable Wilson, then Honorable Chute, you can go down there.
Thank you, Chairperson, and getting me the social development and the new faces that you see today, and our new deputy minister, we welcome you to this year's committee. I think we are getting you to the thank you very much. from where I stand, I always emphasize that I come from a rural province, poor and rural, and my interest is more on the lives and the improvement of the lives of the people in our area. I want to just commend you for the support that you have given to us. We are very many positive in the report, although we always look at our people down there in those areas as to whether do good things to reach them, and that is mostly where we concentrate, especially as coming from those backgrounds. The first thing I would like to talk about is the accelerated registration of the NGOs. We really welcome that. But now my problem comes when we have all these NGOs that have been registered, and you go to those areas or those where they occupy the space, and you try to monitor, because our part of our work is to make sure that we monitor and evaluate how the monies of this department are being used. And when you go there, you find that there is a lack of support and resources. You know, you go to this NGO that are dealing with sick people, like the home-based care, where you find that they don't have the resources and even the usage of the gloves, for instance, that they need to use to take care of the sick. They don't have those basic resources that are needed. And that really worries me. And maybe that is the reason that I think maybe because there is not enough monitoring from the department itself. Because I realize also in the report it is said that these NGOs, some of them did not submit their annual report. And now it becomes a worry to me. If they don't don't submit their annual report, then how are they going to account for whatever they got? Maybe they are saying they don't have resources from the look of things, but only to find that the money is misdirected or something used for something different than the real aim of what the money should be used for. So what was the after the transaction happened, maybe not non-submission of annual report, what is the response of the department and how is it going to solve such problems in the future? There was a talk here of the National Food Bank in the report that they were established. Maybe I am not very conversant with the real aim of this, I forgot. But when I looked at the countries, the areas, so the provinces where this food bank has been established, the network, I see Cape Town, Joburg, Durban, PE, and to me, those are towns that have got resources more than where I come from, and I wonder why I'm not included. Maybe there is a way in which you distribute this towards those rural areas. Maybe you explain to me, but I become one just by mentioning Mpumalanga. One of the emphasis of the SONA in the 2010 was poverty alleviation. The poverty alleviation project. I have been to some, you know, I try to go around and check, even if it's not the portfolio committee, but through our areas and being the public representative. And you find that they have this project, a poverty alleviation project, where people are given land maybe to plow, but you find that there is no poverty alleviation, and the main reason for that finding that is maybe the market. These people do not have a market where to sell their products, or they are not assisted in coming up with good business plans. And again, then I would like to know what is the department doing to assist such projects that are not actually getting the results that is aimed at, which says we need to assist these people so that it's poverty alleviation. Last year, we went with the bill where we even told that there would be an independent tribunal for social assistance. And I understand from the report that this tribunal, independent tribunal for social assistance, is almost completed. By the time it was aimed at even trying to reduce the backlogs that we had in our different areas, I just want to know what is the status quo now in terms of the backlog, what is happening, is it assisting, and if it's not, what is happening then? The other one that I will couple with that, as I go to my condition chair, is the reasons for the delay in the draft social relief committee, and the social relief bill. I know it has got a serious negative implication on the beneficiaries. As I talk about that, again, I must say congratulations for the many old people that are receiving this old people's grant, but I still have a problem with the old people that are receiving grants. Yes, where do they receive them? What are the conditions there? You know, you go to this Cape Point in my rural area where I come from, in the former Bandebele, where an old lady who cannot even walk, who cannot, doesn't even know what he's doing at that same point. They're just taking her there so that she can put her finger on there, and the money comes out, and that is it. And where do they? They are in the sun. They are affected health-wise. I don't know if this department can talk with the Department of Health to make sure that those people are given priority. I haven't seen that happening, although they say it is happening. It is chaos there for our old people that we are supposed to respect. In that under the circumstances. And again, I remember suggesting sometimes that how about us having maybe some task teams to follow up on this very old people. You know, if I can tell you a story, these people are only back on the day that they go for their salary, for their grant at the pension point. And nothing is followed up. They are being abused in the families. Their money, they don't even know where it goes to. And the department is trying to assist our old people. But, you know, the abuses in the families and even at the same point themselves, no shade, no chairs, you know, it's terrible. I don't know if we can do something about that. Maybe something might come up out of that. And have a task team to monitor, especially those people that are very old or that are cannot, disabled maybe. Mostly the disabled that are only taken there for that. Lastly, let me say, the social assistance for caregivers, I understand and I'm happy that this policy is being developed, and maybe we can get time frames as to when it will be finished, because it is very important. People want to give care to our elderly, to our sick out there, but there are still problems in terms of stipends, in terms of real assistance in capacity building and all that. And lastly, SASSA files not presented to contain necessary information required, as alluded to by the Auditor General. You know, that is worrying. But after the explanation that the DG has given, I think I will not talk much on that and believe that this will continue, because we cannot have qualified reports because of other people not doing their work as they are supposed to do their work. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. I would have an emphasis on the qualified report because of the dual accountability. Fortunately, the department is saying this was the first time this was happening. So then it means there are lessons that we're supposed to be learning from the student yet, because SASSA has been accounting. I'm not sure that we know that SASSA is giving money and the department is going to account. But if it has been like that for previous years, then there is something wrong that happened to 2009, 2010. So as then, as you revisit this issue in terms of you discussing with the treasurer, is the question of saying SASSA is an agency of the Department of Social Services. So the arm's length that may has happened in during this financial year, that is the issue that has to be resolved. We were in Free State in September during taking Parliament to the people. We observed this brother and father. There is a sort of independence in the system. SASSA was there and the department was there. But, and there has been 3 months of preparation for us to go there. But on the day that SASSA and the department was presenting to us, the report was just the department to say SASSA came, and then the person that was supposed, there was a district there, there was a province in the district, and then the region was locked somewhere in the Free State. He never came to us to answer those questions. But then we're then saying the process or the report or the information is not supposed to be only for one person. So there's something wrong in terms of how the department is managed. They're too free. SASSA is too independent. You need to strengthen what you can strengthen at DG level. Also, in all the departments and in provinces, there has to be that close relationship. They must know that at the end, away the money. The other one is on the monitoring and evaluation. When we look at program one, you are saying monitoring and evaluation to provinces you have not done because of the shortage of staff. And I'm not sure whether in 2010-11 there were mechanisms that you put in place. Because I want to refer also to my observation at in the state in terms of stakeholders complaining about the people that are rejected when they apply for grants. And my colleague has just indicated some of the criteria. Some people could not explain to us in terms of the content of the criteria, on which base do they reject the application. But lots of applications were rejected, but we explain in terms of on which base. But also, they were also complaining that most of the areas, the verification or assessment is done by the social workers, and social workers there in the police state, which have also experienced in the questions I am in itself, is they were saying you don't know where they stay or where their offices of the social workers in the police state, or in Gwaka, or let me say in the Gwaka where we went, the people there, they don't know where they are. And when you ask, why are they not known? No, there are no offices. Okay, there are not offices. Where are they? I mean, you can drive with your whatever in your car. Then they say, no, they don't have transport. So it means they are employed, but loitering maybe at home. Then they will say, no, they start working at 11, and by 1, they're off. But I see. But then also in December, we had meetings in our constituency, in the Cape Town constituency. The stakeholders also in housing in the Cape Town constituency were also relating that the social workers start working at 11, and by 1, they're off. But then a lot of people not being served. The other one is on the whole question of the shortage of staff. Then you ask, is there any mechanism of maybe targeting that by this financial year we can be able to employ this staff in relation to this program or in relation to this function? The other one is on the understanding. The understanding is on the social assistance, where also SAPA comes in. So you have a lot of people being rejected to get the social assistance, but you also, in conversation, you have the understanding on the same program. The other one is on SATA again, when people are getting their grants. let me just be specific. In my constituency in Cape Town, there is a complaint that when they get these vouchers, the vouchers are linked to a particular service provider. We have the name, but this provider forces the people, they take something. So it means they're forcing them, as they buy, they also tax them. So they're saying, is it an argument or is it corruption from the part of the service provider? We don't even have up to now for the people to investigate. It may not be the only issue in the constituency where I am. It might be worldwide, as they negotiate that you can go and change your check there, but you need to buy and you're forced to buy one from them. My notes are somewhere else. But even if there's a voucher in whatever grant, I'm not now. Okay. And then they then negotiate for argument purposes for this, to say maybe we'll see campaign or ShopRite. Say as you get this, you can change it at ShopRite. And ShopRite will force the beneficiary to buy for a certain amount. For instance, they may get 500, you know, 500 or 300. And you will not get in that grant only for that. You may choose to buy something else. So there's that thing of saying you get it to buy at this amount. Then we say that there's a problem with the agreement if it's part of the conditions.
Thank you.
entity and the department. But I'm just raising it because I know that the DG has tried to put up a system on it, explanation of it. That if you say they are not clear or clearly defined lines, my question is, who should define your relationship, the relationship of the department and SAFRA? I just want to find out from whom, who is responsible to make sure that there is definition of lines in terms of your relations. And the other question, Chair, is on Gwanda project. I visited some other area on my time. I was just going out on funerals and seeing people talking about this project, the Gwanda project in the rural areas in Masimbe. But what I want to find out from the department is this project sustainable? Is it a sustainable project? Or is it a time-bound project? A project that is meant for a specific time and collapse. And what is the aim, the objective of the project? Is it to address the same thing that you talked about there on dependency? Or is it something else? What is the project, the objective? And lastly, on the same project, I want to check who actually is the participant? Are the people who are already on the ground, or is the prerogative? Because from the area where I visited, we were told that the what council in the area is the only person who have the prerogative to put up an employee who should be in the project. I want to check who must participate in the project. Are the beneficiaries who are in the government program, or any other person who is in the community, or is it the elderly people in that area? And that is basically my question. I'll just stop there.
Thank you, sir. Honorable Chairperson. My first question to the department is in connection with the cooperation agreement with China and Mali. Can the department just explain what is about. Then the second one is the department states that the official development assistance, ODA, could not be carried out, that is on page 24 of the annual report, due to the National Treasury, who conducted a similar study. However, on page 31 of the report, the department said that it was due to lack of staff capacity. Can you just explain the discrepancy there? And then the other question, what are the unforeseen administrative delays on the budget planning and monitoring? The next question is about the deviation of the target, estimated target from the department on the beneficiaries, especially where the department exceeds the target. How will this impact on the budget of the department? The national assistance of welfare organizations and the non-governmental organizations to the department to court, and they actually asked that the Free State DSD must rewrite its financial rewards policy. Can you just explain what exactly is the problem there, or why is the problem? Why did they take to report? And then about the master trainers, the department told us in the document also there's 100 master trainers received their training, but then you state that 90 master trainers received training, so there's also discrepancy about the 100 and the 90. Can you just explain that situation to us? Then about the ECD children, there are 717,657 ECD children registered 1,807 receive state subsidies. What is the situation with, in connection with these two figures in the ECD centers? What happened with the other children in the ECD? Can the department elaborate on the difference between these figures in the ECD? And then the youth, the National Youth Service in the Free State, Northern Cape and Northwest, Limpopo, only in those provinces. What is the problem? Why did the department not start this program also in other provinces? What is the problem there? And then the HCBC, the Home Community Based Care, also in Northwest, Northern Cape, the KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo. Why only in those provinces? And my last question, Honorable Chairperson, is about the MOU with the Department of Justice and the Constitutional Development for Child Protection Register. There was delay. Can you just give us the reasons why there was a delay and how will it impact on the register target, the target in the register?
Done on the ground. That is important to the people. They want to know. also want to touch on that one and see how best can we change the situation, because it's really painful to look at elderly people being abused in the way they are abused, not only by the agency, but by the families themselves. There are a lot of things that are happening that are wrong, but we need to see what is it that we can come up with to monitor what is happening at the same point. I didn't know about the security officers that are assisting people to jump the queue, but I'll check on that one as well. As we all know, that SAPA is an agency of the department, and we have already promised that we are taking care of all the members that relate to the two of us. I think those are the questions that I wanted to answer. Definitely, the 11 o'clock and the 13 hour thing that the social workers are doing is really happening. My constituency office is closer to the social work office in the Parkbank. They come at 10, at 11, 12, they are gone. And there are people standing in a queue, they're waiting for them, they are not long, nowhere to be found. Those are the things that we must take care of. I think we have a lot to do. I won't blame anybody. I'm saying, blame us if next year we come back to the same report. As a new child on the floor, I want to say, blame us if we come back. We are all new. The minister is new in the ministry. I'm new. And we just joined. Let's see what we can do together. But what I want to ask you before we start, please work with us. Please work with me. Please work with the minister. Work with the DC. Don't stand aloof and say the department thing. Ours. That's what we say. I'll give over to the DC.
Thank you very much, Dr. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Honourable members, for the questions that have been posed. We have various resident experts from this department present to deal with the many questions that have been raised. I suppose I'm the only one well placed to deal with the aspersions that have been cast relating to incompetence, because if this department is, that would certainly be my only competence. Madam Chair, perhaps I will not choose to use language that is offensive, because I don't suppose I have the permission to do so. But I'd just like to say that it is important that we understand how the state is structured, not just government, how the state is structured, and thereafter how government is structured, and where the different mandates. There are departments at national level that have what is called concurrent functions, and those that don't have concurrent functions, which means that if someone has a complaint about identity documents, there's only one senior officer in the department to account for, that is the DG, because there is no provincial department of Home Affairs, for an example, or a provincial DG of the Department of Justice or something like that. But when it comes to education, health, social development, and others, national departments have a specified role to develop policies, and that's what we're for. We can't implement policies. If you are hoping to see how we've implemented our own policies as the national department, then you're asking us the wrong question. Then you're asking, if you're hoping to see information you cannot find in a report of the National Department of Social Development. And if, by not having provided you information on how we have implemented these policies, if I fail to do so in competence, do is provide support to provincial departments to make sure that they understand what the policies are, and that we provide the necessary support, limited by office, to make sure that they do. The provincial departments, if honorable members are interested to know to what extent those policies are being implemented, I don't suppose it would be too much trouble on us to collate from provincial departments of social development reports relating to how they have in fact implemented the policies that we are developing. We can't speak to those reports, but we can certainly circulate them to one of the members who may wish to know how well those policies have been implemented or not. So I hope, Madam Chair, honourable members will bear with us if our reports will speak to policies and not to implementation, because that's not what our mandate. Part of the reason why we established the South African Social Services Agency, it was because when the function of social assistance was submitted back to the national sphere of governance, it was established that the national department with 670 members of staff can't service the 14 million people that we have. Because, and precisely, it is not configured for that purpose. Which is why then the South African Social Security Agency, with a national focus, with the number of people that we have been set up to do this. No one will ever claim that SASA is perfect in the execution of that task. I think my colleagues Sasa will be able to speak more intelligently about the challenges they face. But certainly there's a lot of remarkable work Sasa has done. But we are the first to admit, and I'm sure my colleagues at Sasa will admit the same, that they are far from perfect. There are certain things that they still need to do. There are only about 4 years of contract. And they didn't start from scratch administering the first beneficiary. They in fact inherited a sizable number of beneficiaries when they were already born, and they had to give the sum of money. So they fixed the system as the organization was doing work, but effectively doing two things at the same time. I hope honorable members will appreciate that. But Madam Chair, let me ask my colleagues to tackle the other questions. I hope they'll leave the less difficult ones for me.
Yes, because of that, let me say that sometimes it's very difficult and a chapter to anticipate what a member is going to say in a meeting. So I find myself in that position right now. But I want to state categorically that the view of the committee on the report that has been taken today, like I have said, that we commend the department. And satisfied with the efforts the government is putting in place in trying to improve its own program in terms of implementation of the system. In the majority, the department has done very well so far. We are satisfied. So if there's anything else, don't worry about some of the things that have been mentioned. It is not because she is the problem.
Questions that are relevant for the one actually came from, to indicate that the Department of Social Development can prepare or is preparing those beneficiaries, but at the end of the day, the linkage will be or is undertaken with relevant departments that have now to facilitate that graduation, because the Department of Social Development by itself cannot facilitate that graduation, particularly because most of them would want to be entrepreneurs. And that is where there is a close linkage with CEDA, which is a small enterprise development agency, to assist, and as well as other departments, the Department of Agriculture, DTI, etc. But then those projects that the department implements are not really contributing to the income into the household that is enough for those households to migrate out of the system. It is simply for them to be able to sustain their lives, ready to stretch the grant, because the grant that the household receives is not really enough for them to, you know, to bring them out of poverty. So those projects for sustainable livelihoods, to ensure that they can then stretch their grant so that they can at least meet other needs whilst they can be able to meet those that others with projects. So the partnership with other departments is crucial in this instance. But there is a program that is dedicated towards improving and linking those grant beneficiaries to opportunities for sustainable livelihoods. And then the question regarding the National Youth Service and why targeting only three provinces. The department has developed guidelines for mathematication of the National Youth Service program. And the provinces that they targeted were simply the introduction of the training of officials for them to be able to implement those guidelines. But I think the committee is also aware of the fact that the National Youth Service program is not only a social development program, but the intention also of the program is to train young people to support delivery of services, and in particular, the social services in the department. And the training also, for example, probation officers, has also to be linked with the need in the department. Because if training can simply just go on and there is no opportunity for appointment or absorption of these young people, then it is just training for the sake of training. So it is not just a Department of Social Development competency, but National Youth Service cut across all departments. And then the last one, I think it links to the first one, which is whether the plans of the DSD to assist projects to graduate into SMEs. As I indicated, the department partners and refers to other departments. For example, if a young person says, you know, my dream is to complete my education, then that person will be referred to the Department of Education. And until that department has done what they've got to do with that particular young person, then the linkage has not happened. So the department therefore identifies the strengths and the desires, and then links to other departments. I think I'll touch on this question and then Dr. Hana will respond to the one donation.
Maybe Sadi, you can also touch on the issue of implement and regarding women
and okay, the issue of the market also. The issue of the market is also a challenge, but in partnership with the DTI, particularly in terms of training those groups to become fully fledged cooperatives, that particular training also links to the market. And I think what is very important in this instance is that the quality of the product also determines the appetite of the market for the product. So the department will also is also working very close with the DTI in terms of the training of those groups to through their the grant system of the DTI for them to be able to target the specific market. And I think going forward, that is also an element that will be taken seriously to not only respond to business plans that groups submit, but also to engage with departments that have got the specific experience and skill to establish whether that particular business plan is suited for that particular area and whether the product that that particular project wants to produce will then be able to access the market. So it's mainly those partnerships that are crucial, so that it's not just funding a project because of the people have submitted the project, but funding a project that is also that has been thoroughly scrutinized to establish whether there will be a market for that particular product. But the department is essentially just very, very close to the relevant department.
One angle in relation to this question. That in addition to the DTR, which will provide data about the market, especially for those projects that are agriculture, that in the main, the Department of Agriculture comes to the front. They assist for those who are in crop production, they will assist them with, through the extension of the source, including soil salt, but also providing them the support regarding agricultural implements and the like. When the Department of Agriculture continues to meet in that regard. So what we're doing is linking some of these projects to the Department of Agriculture to make sure that such support is provided to them. We also have the National Development Agency, which is another agency that resolves under that. In fact, community enterprise development has now become their area of business, which is something they will focus more and more on, and the department will continue to focus more and more on policy issues. The Network Development Agency is already working with a number of community projects that are agriculture related. The beauty with the NGA is that although it is an agency of the department, it has the ability to work with all other departments, including the DTR, the Department of Agriculture, and others, in the same way as they relate to us. Although the Minister of Social Development remains the Minister responsible for the project.
Maybe also to add a bit, as they have indicated that we are working closely with the Department of Trade and Industry. In Trade of Industry, we have developed the relationship with the big chain shops, where when people are farming, their produce has been taken by ShopRite, Checkers, for instance, Pick and Pay is one of them. But we'll help you on this one again, take it further. When I left the DTI, it was already happening, but the one that was in the pipeline was the issue of the procurement by government departments now. Because I'm saying that the department procure at least 30% of these people's produce. For instance, with what else, with what correctional services, all those departments that have the element of food within themselves should be in a position to procure from these people. Because in our 10-point plan, we do have procurement there by government. So we need to work on that, and we will succeed if we work together on that, as we have succeeded
say that you did only one organization. But in those provinces, I can tell you to participate in an organization in which it trained and mentor. And the mentoring process takes long. So we had to be sure before we gave it up to other provinces. And once we had started with that capacity process, then we had to also start with the MNE. Because we realized that if you don't complement the capacity with monitoring and evaluation so that we can have our CDOs as well, be able to go through the process of MNE, therefore you definitely then will put the gap there. So hence that is why currently, I think the honorable member must be from Mpumalanga. So we, Mpumalanga was one of the programs that was supposed to have started in Namibia, but at the time the project did not have the project manager, so it sort of went dormant for some time. But I can tell you as of now, we just come from Mpumalanga. We have set up a partnership with Starfish at the province, and the province has committed to fund. I also wanted to say that this capacity building program, in order for it to be institutionalized and sustainable, it cannot be managed even financially by the nation. Provinces have got to also commit funds. So we also depend on the commitment of provinces to fund so that we run a sustainable project. And then that program must also include the training of district officials. So we're going throughout all the other provinces that have not started for them to commit funds, for them to be able to train both the district officials and the NGOs so that we have a sustainable program. Also training the mainstream organizations that must be resident in those provinces, because you cannot have one national organization mentor. So we have to start training mentors within provinces so that they can be able to sustain the program. So I hope that I was also able to answer the question that was raised by the honorable member about why the provinces and not the resident.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My first response is in respect of the question of social relief of the state. Yes, the process to finalize a draft really took long, in part for two reasons. We were talking about the shift of the function from the South African Social Security, and the idea is to then have provinces implemented, and we were hoping that the debate and the discussion around a new bill would be much more enriched, given that the current provisions, which were drafted in 1990-odd, were earmarked for a particular time when the drafters provided for 10 different reasons for why people should receive social relief of distress. The outcome of it, on the one hand, was not a much more enriching set of ideas of changing it, and hence we took it back to provinces and had a long period of discussions with each of the provinces on how can we change the bill. Of course, 2009 also brought us to the point where the administration changed, and there was the view that perhaps we should give the new MECs and the new minister and deputy minister the opportunity to also look at the bill before we fast track it. So that in the main has been a reason for almost holding it in abeyance. There were a range of questions in respect of SASSA, and I'm not sure, Shepherd, and we're going to deal with all of them, because a lot of it relates to service delivery. And this committee at some point will, in my understanding, call SASSA and say, take us through your annual report. So I don't think we will want to go to all of them, perhaps only to touch on one or two issues, such as, and I would say issues of conditions at pay point will be dealt with. Our role in respect of how SASSA deliver services covers the area of we set the norms and standards. We then undertake surveys and assessments to see to what extent SASSA meets it, and it may be better for us to come to this committee and say, these are our independent findings. Many of us will corroborate and confirm what members have seen. But that's how far we go. And then, of course, we sit down with SASSA and say, based on the survey done independently, our interaction with SASSA to address these issues. I want to, in closing, two very important points, Chair, because this one keeps on coming up every year, the issue of dependency. The grants do not create dependency. Dependency exists when people are poor and they rely on others to help them. Yes, if a grant is made available, it does then shift the dependency almost on the government to provide it. But I think there's a deeper debate that we need to have in the discourse around the dependency. And I dare say the social work department at the University of Cape Town has overseen the writing of a thesis on this notion of dependency, and where the debate arose and why it persists and continues to be raised now in our societies, and for the most part by middle class and rich people. I think that's a debate that needs to be had, as opposed to the continuous reference on how the poor that create dependency. It's an important debate. It is all about how we as a society think we want to deal with poverty, especially in the context of high levels of deprivation, given our history, but also it's the fact that the market allocates resources in a skewed way. So we will always have some people benefiting more than others, and then how do we respond to the poor? I think the other part of it is, just as we do not ask the doctors at Rotary Care, for example, why do you continue to treat road accident patients? You just increase the numbers. The Department of Social Development responds to a need out there, and the department that ought to deal with the issue of job creation, skills development, actually ought to be called by the committee and say, what are you doing to prevent so many people asking social grants? In closing, Chair, I wish to say, in the midst of all our challenges, the department 2 years ago received, I think, 5 to 7 awards, ranging from platinum to gold. These awards were awarded based on good or excellent service in different areas, such as customer care, access to beneficiaries, etc. And I think, it was based on independent surveys, not done by our department. Surveys in which members of the community were asked, rating the different departments. I do not think that we could have fooled so many people to such a debate.
fact, once you introduce that, it raises the question, why should we have SASA if I'm supposed to do the administration of SASA? What is the role of the CEO of SASA? We will continue to exercise policy of SASA. Because we develop policy, they implement. We need to be sure that they're implementing the policies right. But anything more than policy oversight is effectively taking over the responsibility of the CEO of SASA. And that is just something that if we raise that, then certainly there will be a relationship issue arising from that objection. I'm not sure if other colleagues here, but colleagues here appeal and the social worker
of the appeals tribunal and asking for the status quo. I just want to say the year under review it was more the setup here where there was an establishment of a strategy and an attempt to set up the national footprint. I must say that during that year the strategy was almost overtaken by the litigious environment that then forced the tribunal into a bit of a crisis. We are in a situation where we have totally stabilized. We have offices in nine provinces, very small ones, not big ones. That's why we call it a provincial footprint. We have also just appointed the northern provinces. Now we'll have at least someone in those provinces within government without a proper staff establishment, which we're currently addressing with the Public Service Commission. It does take a while to actually have a staff or contract. In terms of the targeted numbers, for this financial year, we've already exceeded our target and we will be within the range of the set by, even though we started our strategy list, because we've already completed 35,000 appeals for the period, out of 40,000 we said we would, and we still have the remainder of the financial year to complete it. So we're on target, and we hope to finish the backlog by latest, and I'm saying latest as the outside date, September next year, then there would be no backlog. This year, sorry.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Member, and the Deputy Minister. I'm going to respond to Welfare Services questions raised from the Welfare Services presentation. There was a question on why were career fairs held in five provinces and which are those provinces? The provinces are Free State, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, and KZN. And why we have the career fairs in those provinces is mainly because we get invited to this career fair. We don't organize them ourselves. They're organized by SABC. But what I know is that SABC rotates on a yearly basis. They will, for example, the previous year, I think it was in 2008, they had gone to other provinces other than this one that they've gone to. And so the scholarship is not based on the provinces. It's across the country. Every province has got a scholarship program and funds are allocated to every province for the students that they have recruited to study social work at the university. The second question is on the NGO. Why did the NGOs in the Free State take the department there to court? There are quite a number of reasons which are of course nationally. The first one was because of the fact that there's inadequate funding to NGOs, especially for statutory services. And for constitutional obligations of the department, as far as services to children, older persons, and people with disabilities, and to all vulnerabilities concerned. That was one main reason that the NGOs felt that they were inadequately funded, and that there was also there's a general problem of late transfers of funds to NGOs. Last year when we investigated, with the problem to why it was caused the delay. Some said they changed their payment system. The delay was also resulted from the lack of compliance by some of the NGOs in submitting reports and adhering to the service level agreement. And the NGOs also felt that the way the funds were allocated, it was very unfair, inequitable, and it was not transparent, that the free trade was not implementing its costing model. This is also, across the nationally. It was as a result, this matter was discussed at MINMEC, and MINMEC agreed that we must have one funding policy, because these provinces have got different funding policies, which is similar to the national one, but it's got variations here and there. So a decision was taken that we must amend or revise the existing national policy so that we align it with the provincial policy. And that all the provinces, we must use one, in all provinces there should be one national guidelines for funding to NGOs, which we have developed, and the provinces will start implementing it in the next financial year. And we also are currently collecting information from the provinces so that we can develop national costing models to do away with the disparities that are existing currently. And I think one problem that we have identified now in the current financial policy is that when it was developed in 2004, the new pieces of legislation were not passed by Parliament that year. So the New Children's Act, the Older Persons Act, the Substance Abuse Act, and we've got 20 new policies for persons with disabilities. So the existing policy on financial laws is not aligned to those policies, and what we'll be doing now is to align it with those policies so that the policies and the legislation will be properly funded. The next issue is on the difference between children who attend ECD. That's the 700,000 plus children in ECD, in registered ECD size, but only 438,000 children are subsidized. In accordance to the Children's Act, we have to register all ECD sites in the country, whether the children in those ECD sites are subsidized or not. And as you know, children who attend ECD sites come from different, household backgrounds, from the rich, the poor, the middle income. So we fund only children who come from poor households. But I would not say 428,000 covers all children from poor households between the ages 0 to 4. There are still outstanding applications to subsidize, most of the children. These are processed by the provincial department as and when they receive them. But the social workers and the social auxiliary workers do assist the ACD sites to apply for subsidy for children. And there was a question on the delay in finalizing the MOU. Justice and GSD. It seems the Department of Justice is not eager to sign the MOU because the argument is that we have structures within the JCPS. We work within those structures, and those structures are working very well. So they have started giving us information. What we need from them is historical information of convicted people so that we can check people who are in the employ of, who work with children can be checked against that list, whether they have committed crimes, in the past. So we were working with the Department of Justice to get more of that information. And they are also looking at our request. The social auxiliary workers program, it is going on in all provinces. Every province now are training social auxiliary workers.
I don't have the figures here. We will send the figures, you know, at a later stage. But the program is going on, and we are offering a lot of assistance to social workers. We have also, of course, increased the numbers of social workers. Social workers who have qualified since 2007 are 2,346. So there's a slight increase, but the social auxiliary workers, you know, created a good backup as far as the work of social workers is concerned. I wanted to answer the question on why social workers leave offices early. I might be, you know, making assumptions here, but we know that social workers have to cover a number of areas, for example, in one district. So they'll touch this place, go to another place, and so on. And social workers, their main work is also to do home visits. So if they are not in the office, it doesn't mean that they're going back home. They're going to do home visits. Yeah. Yeah, they are never fun because you don't know where which house they're going to. We're meeting with the program managers for welfare services on Thursday. I'll ask them these questions and then we'll come with a proper answer. But what I'm making just my assumption from my experience as a social worker and what I know is there and what is there also.
Okay, I think I've covered all the questions from the floor. Thanks for listening.
Thursday, is it the last question that you
have?
fully understood there, which is that, and it is something that we're trying to grapple ourselves, which is that there is no legal relationship between the provincial department and SAFAM, even at the SAFAM example. But there's one of cooperation. In terms of the legislation, SASA falls within the national office. MECs don't have a legislative role in relation to SASA. But the nature of the work SASA is a provincial department still requires that they work together. And that's what we're trying to cultivate. And that's something we will continue to try and work on. The honourable member refers to the verification of social workers in certain grant charts, which makes it necessary for the two, the department and the agency to work together to get the information there. That will also certainly pursue. There are several questions relating to corporate control between China and Mali, with China and Mali. These relate to the broad areas of social development in China. We're also looking at, I would like to learn on how we deal with the registration of NGOs, which is something they haven't done before, and I would like to learn from it. But there's also quite a lot that they are doing on the World Trade Center's front that we believe we can benefit from. Madam Chair, if the committee is interested, we can make certain of those documents available. To the committee for you to see the detail in the sort of the areas of cooperation that we've identified. There were also, I think there was a question raised about a discrepancy with regards to a study on OTA that wasn't done. But there were two reasons given for it in different places. One talks about the fact that the National Treasury has already done. Another place, you say that there was lack of capacity within the agency. But both of them are correct. But certainly the one that ultimately made it unnecessary for us to proceed with the study, the fact that that study has already been done. As government, we're required to be prudent in how we use our resources. To go out and get probably the same consultants that did the work with Treasury, they'll give us the same report. But still take away the money. So, but I think in the future we'll make sure that the annual report reads better so that it doesn't give a sense of there is a contradiction. I think the one on MPOs has been dealt with. Yes, I don't know. The one on the master trainer. That it talks about that.
Yes.
And then, but also talk about my specific page.
Protection Act makes provisions for the register for elder abuse. We are setting up that register in the department. It's going to work just like the child protection register. But people can start. I think the main thing is to create awareness around the register so that people report cases of elder abuse to the provincial offices, and then we capture the information nationally. And then those cases are supposed to be followed up and investigated. It's operating the same way as the child protection.
Thanks, and honourable members. Now that we are here, I know we have our own dates where we will be dealing with the details. And I hope we'll start at 9 because it's quite a number of issues on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Chair, I also, as an official, perhaps don't have a liberty or privilege to claim that I'm a new kid on the block. But with the short time that I have been a SAFRA, we've done a thorough analysis and prognosis of the problem. It's major problems. We cannot deny that. In fact, we have not hidden the problems. We have compiled a thick document which we call Service Delivery Challenges that we presented at our MINMEC that was held sometime toward the end of last year. I think the DG, Mr. Joma, and other colleagues have already covered some of the issues we're grappling with being a young organization. SASA has inherited quite a sizable number of challenges on the service delivery front. And those challenges, Chairperson, were unpacked. When we interacted with SCOPA last year, we've given them a detailed action plan, just indicating some of the issues that need immediate attention. I just want to summarize by saying that, perhaps maybe before I do that, by saying that when SASA was established, everyone, at least we were interacting with Treasury, we were hoping that we would have efficiencies in the administration of social assistance. And we were not foolhardy to think that it's going to take 1 year or 2 years. The minister then was Dr. Skweyiya, and we agreed on a 5-year time frame. I think we are now finishing the 5 years, and we are taking a review of where we are, taking stock of what have been achieved. Chairperson, I think in that day we will give a detail of what SAFA has achieved, besides the issue of implementing certain norms, especially on the table in front of Mr. Joma indicated. We have actually achieved a turnaround time of an average nationally of 21 days. From the day SY, we used to have three to six months waiting for approval of grants. But there are a number of things that we will detail, but problems that are there, Chairperson, which have led to the qualification as well, are enormous. For instance, the issue of registry management, which we will go into detail in terms of how we deal with that, the issue of migration of beneficiaries from one province to another, and all that stuff. But, Chair, the issue really is dealing with service delivery challenges, financial management issues, human capital management, and fraud management strategies that we are going to deal with in detail. In a nutshell, the turnaround strategy for SAFA is twofold, Chairperson. It's focusing on cash stabilization, which is our short-term measure now to deal with ensuring that we get a positive spin-off, because we're operating on a huge overdraft as we speak. We are going to focus largely there because our 50% of our budget goes to heading fee, which is the cost that we pay this cash payment contractors to go and pay people at the various pay points. That is one area where we are now working on a new payment model, which will give quite a lot of detail when we meet. The other area then is the more broader overhaul of how SAFA is engineered, which is looking at the entire business processes from end to end. And that Chairperson will involve, already we've started piloting Free State, will involve improved grant application processes where we are implementing new management information systems. Chairperson, when SAFA was established, we had about 3 million beneficiaries. That was in 2006. As we speak, we just about 14 million, and we're still operating on manual systems. There is no country that we visited when we're benchmarking and establishing SAFA, where you actually have such kind of number of transactions on a manual basis. So we're focusing on automation. Automation also brings spin-offs, because when you look at fraud management, we are going to introduce IT systems where they are going to have two important things that I can talk about. One is identity management system, where we will definitely look at automation of
and that is interface of systems, as well as the other one which will deal with forensic analysis capabilities. I'm not reading your African chair, but in closing, Chairperson, I want to say that the challenges that is faced by SAFA, we have done a costing of what is going to be required over the medium term. And we have, in principle, agreeing, that is a positive note, that Treasury is willing to come into the party, and the savings that we are going to get from efficiencies in the administration, as well as on the actual grant, which is the review, etc., because that is why we have saved quite a number of money, sizable amount of grants, because we are doing now vigorously reviews, but we will deal with the political implications of that and other issues when we meet. Chairperson, in closing, there's a story that says there was a young bull that was grazing with a number of cows, and there was an intruding bull which was quite big. And this bull started showing some anger, and you know, when it does the stuff. And then these cows were asking, why are you doing this? Are you not afraid of this giant? Then the reply was that, well, I'm quite afraid, actually, but if I don't do this, they will also think I'm also a cow.
Thank you.